Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hello, that's James Hamm. That's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon. We have the NBA Finals starting today. We have more Kings roster stuff to go over today, but I have a couple things I want to start the show with that are not related to either of those things. One, we have some controversy in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320.
Okay.
We have some controversy, is it according to our friends across the pond. I have Wheezy in the chatty house getting the belt today. He's the first chat in the thread.
So do I.
No. Nope.
Do you also? Who do you have?
I've got accurately incorrect.
At what time?
9 a.m.
Yeah. See, I've got Wheezy at 8:47 a.m.
Yeah, Wheezy at 8:47.
So I gave Wheezy the belt, and then Wheezy said I did not get the belt today. If you're unfamiliar, and good morning to everybody listening on the radio, 1320 a.m. and 98.5 FM HD2, and everybody on the free Odyssey app, we appreciate you so much for listening. If you want to join the show, call the Oak Grove Kid Talk Line. That's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. In the chatty house, the stream goes up whenever Jesse puts it up in the morning. Jesse Tapia, the producer of D'Lo and Casey, does so much good work behind the scenes with our video stream. He gets the stream going. It just kind of depends on the day. Yeah. Sometimes it's 7:30 a.m. Sometimes it's 9. So today he got it up pretty early. And as soon as the stream goes up, even before we go live, you can jump in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And the chatty house, of course, is the very best chat room in the business. Text line, whatever you want to call it. And the conversation gets rolling in there well before we ever start talking. And which we appreciate the hell out of, by the way. Thank you, guys. But every day, we give the first person in the chat the belt, quote
unquote. Of course, yeah.
Someday, when we're rich and famous, we'll actually mail something to the person who gets the belt. Like, we'll keep track of who gets the most, and then we'll send them one at the end of the year or something.
We should get, like, the world's smallest belt and buy 300, well, not 300, like, whatever.
I don't want to do that.
260
because,
of them.
Because that's like, man, now we got to do that every day. We got to mail one out every day.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. The stamps would cost
Sounds
us.
Awful. Sounds awful. We can keep track of belts, and whoever gets the most gets a belt.
I was thinking paper clips.
Yeah, paper clips.
That's
sure.
What I was thinking. Yeah. Paperclip belt.
So, anyways, we give the person a belt, and apparently Wheezy didn't get the belt today.
Oh. There is controversy.
He gets the belt for me because that's the first chat we have. James is the first chat you have. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
A little controversy to start the day.
I guess Warren did get the belt. He says he was in it at 8:35. So, and everyone else is saying that Warren was in first. So, the good thing is that about the chatty house is that they're being honest and like, you know, like, no.
No, salute.
It wasn't me. That. I didn't get the belt.
Warren has sent me a screenshot.
Boy, this is getting serious now.
I have a screenshot from 8:35 a.m. that Warren was up in here first. Congratulations to Warren. Warren gets the belt today. You're going to get a ding and an applause. And now we can start the program now that we've figured that out. Wheezy, apologies for your erroneous belt. You are the La La Land to Warren's Moonlight.
All right.
Here we go. Anyways. The NBA Finals begin tonight. I'm sticking with, I know it's bold, but I'm sticking with Thunder in four. I think we're going to see our first sweep since 2018. 9 finals ever have been sweeps. So it is exceedingly rare. And all it takes, and I know that this is why it's hard. A, it's the two awesome teams in the finals, typically. And all it takes is one game. Like, Oklahoma City's been awesome. They dog walked the Timberwolves.
Yep.
But there was that one game, game three, where Minnesota hit all their shots, Oklahoma City didn't hit any shots, and Minnesota steamrolled those dudes, even though Oklahoma City was very clearly the better team. And Minnesota still found a way to steal a game. I'm just not going to be a coward. I'm sticking with my original pick. I'm going Thunder in four.
Okay, I'm gonna go Thunder in six.
That's fine.
I don't think it's going to be as easy as people think. I think that there's going to be a couple of good games, and like, look, I think Tyrese Halliburton has like the big shot gene. He's a guy who has the ability to come through in the clutch, and will at least steal one game that way, and I think they'll steal another game with a crazy offensive production.
Sure.
But overall, I think Oklahoma City is a better team and will win the series.
Yeah, it's not. I don't have a lot more than that. Like, it's however many games it is, it just feels like Oklahoma City is just so much better that the Pacers aren't going to beat them 4 out of 7 times.
No, I would agree with that.
And that's just kind of where this lands. But because this is the NBA, and because, you know, God forbid we have normal sports discourse, I think the NBA is the sport most obsessed with the market size of the team in the finals.
Yes.
It's never, you hear it something in baseball, but it's anything that's not Dodgers Yankees is considered a nightmare, right? Any market that is not LA or New York is like, oh my God, what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. How is MLB going to survive who the Rangers just beat? A Rangers Diamondbacks World Series. Mm. How are they going to do it? Like, I guess that fits, but in the NBA especially, we get really wrapped up in, small markets, ratings are going to be down, which, A, who cares? But Adam Silver addressed this.
Okay.
On Fox Sports 1, Breakfast Ball, which is a great name for a show. He addressed this, and the question was, are small market teams in the finals good for the NBA? And here's what Adam Silver had to say, and I have a lot of thoughts on this. So here's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver addressing small market teams in the NBA finals.
It's one thing I really admire about the NFL. I mean, if we were going into a Super Bowl and it was Packers against Steelers, you guys would be celebrating that. Those would be storied franchises. People wouldn't be talking about markets, you know, the fact that Pittsburgh is a small market. So we, in fact, you know, I'm happy whatever team ends up in the finals, but it's been intentional from our standpoint to create a system, a collective bargaining agreement that allows more teams to compete. And just by way of background, you know, we're going to have to go through a process of getting to the point where people are accustomed to tuning into the finals because it's the two teams that deserve to be right there, and it's the best basketball. Similar to, again, with the Super Bowl, if I asked somebody if they were going to watch the Super Bowl, they wouldn't say, who's playing? It's a national holiday. And right now, that's nirvana.
That's, you know, the goal.
I'm not saying we're anywhere close to that yet. There's still, if the Knicks are in the finals, there's a segment of our fan base that's going to watch that may not watch if it's other teams. But my job is to get people to love and follow this game. And so that if you're a huge basketball fan, you should want to tune into the finals because that's the best basketball.
Thoughts?
Okay, my first thought is I'm surprised that they kept trying to like interject conversation while the commissioner of the NBA is explaining something, and you keep hearing two guys on the left like try to butt in.
Sure.
Like, hey, how about you calm down for a sec? He's talking. Sure. My biggest thing, like, look, I think having the biggest issue here isn't about, like, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl because it's one day.
Right.
And the Super Bowl is special because it doesn't represent the best two teams in the NFL a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. It represents the team that got the hottest during the playoffs and then probably the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. And so you get this different type of feel where the NBA, because they do such a rigorous like vetting of your teams that are in the finals, they've gone through five game series. They've got seven game series. They're like, these teams are battle tested at that point. And so I think there is a little bit of, you know, of the fact that, hey, we've been watching this team go through the playoffs for like 4 weeks. We all know who they are. So there is no crazy question about, you know, when you get the two teams into battle, where the NFL is just, it's one weekend and somebody has a bad weekend or someone throws a bad pick or someone drops a ball and a team advances. And that doesn't mean they're the best team. It means they're the best team on that day, or they're the team that scored the most points on a certain day. And I think there is a little bit of atrophy by the time you get to the finals because there has been so much basketball, right? Where the NFL just doesn't do that. But then on top of that, it's a 7-game series. It's really tough to build the excitement for a 7-game series, especially games 1 through 4. Once we get to a point where the series is starting to be decided, whether it's 5, 6, 7, that's when I expect the ratings to show that. But in the meantime, I think game 1 is usually pretty high. Game 2 is like, okay. Game 3 is the same. Game 4 is the same, unless it's potential sweep. And then that's when you really start to see fans totally tune in. Again, because I think everybody's watched.
The casual NBA fan is not nearly as dialed in as the casual NFL fan. And that's the genius of the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, there is something psychologically that I am not qualified to dive into. But I would guess that just the nature of football as like a train wreck type of sport just draws eyeballs, right? Like, you can go back to gladiators in Roman times. Like, it's just something that people... So I think football just inherently has an advantage there. I don't think the NBA is ever going to reach a point where every casual fan is locked into the finals. I don't think it's ever going to reach that point.
Well, yeah, and I've told you too, like, my mom texts me on Super Bowl Sunday and says, who's your team today?
Right.
Like, my mom does not watch football. She has never watched football. The fact that she even sits there and goes to a party for the Super Bowl is shocking to me. But that's it. And she does not know who's going to be in the NBA Finals, and she does not care. And her and her friends are not throwing a party to go watch the game one or game 5 or game 7 of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, and I get why that would be the league's goal. Mm-hmm. Like, Adam Silver called it Nirvana.
Yeah, of course.
Where you have just reached the pinnacle, and you're going to get hundreds of millions of people watching this event worldwide. The NBA is just never going to get there. Like, they are, I don't want to say behind, because the NFL was way behind MLB. Major League Baseball was the thing in American sports forever.
Yeah, for decades and decades.
And then about the 70s, or about the time the AFL-NFL merger, the NFL started slowly creeping up, and it has since obviously blown past Major League Baseball in terms of popularity. But the NFL is just always going to win. And they've captured the hearts and minds of everybody, not just sports fans, not just football fans. But I saw somebody in a reply to that video on Twitter. They said, it's not like Packers-Steelers. It's more like Jaguars-Panthers.
Yeah.
Everybody's still locked in for Jags-Panthers. Not a single person. Because we, all year, let's say that happens this year. The story would not be, oh my God, what happened to Patrick Mahomes? What happened to Josh Allen? It would be, wow, the ascension of the Jags. Look at Trevor Lawrence. Look at what Liam Cohen did with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look at Brian Thomas. Oh my God, Travis Hunter, he's playing to it. We have all the, I'm just ripping off random Jaguar storylines right now. The Carolina Panthers, oh my God, the redemption of Bryce Young. And wow, they rebuilt their defense in one offseason. Look at what Dave Canales has done in Carolina. We love to see this growth. And oh my God, out of nowhere, worst to first. We see it all the time in the NFL. Not a single person would be like, oh, AFC South versus NFC South. Oh, nobody.
Yeah.
Because the analysis would not be, well, where are the stars? Like, the way you see that in the NBA. And I don't know if that's the discourse. I don't know if that's just the sport's popularity. But the NBA, in the direction it's currently going, is never going to even get close to what the NFL has in terms of a championship and the unconditional love somebody is going to have for that game.
Yeah.
Or series.
Okay, so I'm going to add one other element too, which I do think matters. The invention of fantasy football from Scotty Sterling in the 60s while he was the general manager of the Raiders, and its growth, especially in the like 80s and 90s, it's set up where so many more people are tuned into different teams around the league. Mm-hmm. And I think it plays into the same exact discussion, though. Fantasy baseball is a whole bunch of math. And if you're not a baseball nut, you don't want to play because you go up against guys and you're like, okay, like how many people out there know what a hold is? And it's such a, it's a huge stat in Major League Baseball when you're playing fantasy baseball, yeah, because it's the relievers that aren't save guys, right? You get these, all these, well, some people don't even know what that means or how, right, how you get a hold.
Most people are going to say, oh, it's a 10-yard penalty. It's when you grab, it's when you,
yeah,
offensive player grabs a defensive player or vice versa.
Exactly. And then fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball is more popular than basketball because there's games almost every day in Major League Baseball.
Uh-huh.
And in fantasy basketball, there's games, some teams play 3 games in a week, some play 5. And if you're not on top of it the whole time, you play for a season or two, you're like, okay, that's just too much work. It's too much work. I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. Right? And so I think that that does play into it because there are so many casual people that play, whether it's betting pools for football or whether it's you know, the office pool or it's Survivor League or it's just straight up fantasy football. Mm-hmm. It's drawn in so many more people because it's one day a week,
right?
Maybe two, maybe a third Thursday game, but there's only one game there, so two teams are playing. So like it brings more people to the table because it's easily digestible.
Yeah. And I think on top of that, I have another thought on this. We gotta step aside for a moment. We're going to step aside on the radio side to pay some bills. Don't go anywhere, though. We'll be back in a second. We'll keep talking NBA Finals. We'll have some Kings roster construction stuff coming up. Packed show for you. Anthony Slater of The Athletic covering Oklahoma City as they begin their finals run tonight. We'll have him with us at 11:20. That's James Hamm. He's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey, home.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That man over there is James. I'm Kyle. That's Joe Brazil. So we were talking about the whole NBA small market. Is it good or bad for, and I think one of the issues here, outside of all the things that we've already laid out, I think one of the other problems is the way that we talk about basketball and the general discourse around basketball. You can find really smart people who are breaking down tape and talking about matchups and the different ways that the Pacers might be able to attack the Thunder defense and vice versa and all this stuff. But the analysis of the Pacers, for example, through this playoff run, they are the lowest seed to make the final since 1995, which is the year Joe was born.
Oof.
Right?
You're getting closer.
All right.
Well, you are. You're getting closer.
You're new to the program. We have a bit.
2001, right?
Joe is. 2000.
That is also wrong.
2000.
There it is.
Come on. Oh, all
right. So anyways, 1995, right after Joe was born, is the last time a team lower than third made the NBA Finals. Hmm. And if this was, to bring this back to the NFL and the comparisons, if this was the 9-8 Carolina Panthers, who snuck into the playoffs, making a run as a 7 seed, mm-hmm. the story would be all the things they've done to get to this point. The story throughout the Pacers' run this year has been, well, is Tyrese Halliburton a star? Is Tyrese Halliburton a superstar? And that's been, like, that's fine. That's just not going to draw people in or make anybody more interested in the sport or make people want to watch the Pacers. And I think that's, again, I think that's a small problem compared to all the things you've laid out, the 82-game schedule, 7-game series, 4 7-game series.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Like, at some point, I think there's just a fatigue that sets in for the casual fan.
I also, like, Kyle, there's this other thing. Like, when you're watching this play out, the Pacers, like, everyone just wants to make an excuse for why they're there.
Yeah.
They're there because they're really good.
They're awesome.
You know, like, we heard that, they beat, you know, the Bucks, right, in the mm-hmm. first round.
Yep.
But Damian Lillard popped his Achilles, so... And it's like, okay, but they were up 3-1 when that happened.
And the story coming out of that series was Giannis asking out. We did it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guilty of this.
Yep.
The day after that series was, hey, nice shot by Tyrese. Goes around Giannis. That's crazy. Hey, summer of Giannis is coming.
Then, you know what? They beat a 64-win Cavs team. And again, everyone was like, well, they had a couple of players miss a couple of games. It's like, first of all, a couple of players missing a couple of games in the playoffs should have been a bigger story, because mm-hmm. like, man, you're in the playoffs, you're about to get beat, mm-hmm. and you're not able to fight through.
Yeah,
you know, but even still, it wasn't, you know, one player missing the entire series. It wasn't like 3 players missing 6 games. Like, they beat the Cavs, and the Cavs were, I think, 64 win team. Then the new thing is, oh well, they beat a flawed Knicks team. And, you know, they didn't have to beat the Celtics, the same Celtics that lost to the Knicks. But why are we making excuses for the reason why Indiana is in the finals? There should be no excuse. They were the best team, like, battle-tested through the playoffs, and they made it. Mm-hmm. Like, people always get hurt. Like, there are always injuries.
Yes.
And every, I mean, again.
It happens in the NFL. And yeah. Do you know what people say? That's part of the NFL.
Part of the game.
Takes some luck to get there.
Yep.
And they beat the Cavs, and this is so much of the NBA of what we talk about, free agency, trades. The offseason is, like, bigger than the regular season. In terms of importance, it's like offseason, playoffs, huge gap, regular season, another gap, in-season tournament. Like, that's the level of importance of things with the NBA, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. But when the Pacers beat the Cavs, again, it's not, wow, the Pacers are going back to the Eastern Conference Finals? Like, holy crap.
They've been there twice.
The immediate, and there was some, don't get me wrong, there was some of that. But the larger post-series analysis was, well, now what do the Cavs do?
Yeah.
Do you run it back? Do you blow it up? What do you do if you're the Cavs? Like, if that's the NFL, it's, wow, the Panthers just went in to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles?
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. How are they doing this? It's not, oh my God, well, does Philly have to blow it up now? Time to fire Nick Sirianni? That's not going to be it's just the way the sports are talked about is different. And again, I don't think one is necessarily worse than the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you talk about casual fans and you talk about trying to get people into this series who may not follow the Pacers on a day-to-day basis, who may not follow the Thunder on a day-to-day basis, who may know who Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is. Oh, they know who Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is. They know who Tyrese Halliburton is. But they may know who Cason Wallace is.
Mm.
Like, probably not for the very casual fan,
yeah.
The very casual viewer. So I know that every year this is going to be a thing that we talk about when there's not a big market team in the finals. But I just don't think it's ever going away.
And, yeah.
And somebody in the chatty house made the right point. We talk about this. Is this good or bad for the NBA? It's not going to matter. It's one year.
Yeah.
Of two, I was going to say random, small market teams in the finals. It's not going to kill the NBA. The TV deal's hitting.
Oh, yeah.
There were people falling over themselves to make sure they had the rights to the NBA.
Yep.
That's it.
Well, that and
they know the possibility of a Pacers Thunder final, and they don't care.
Yep. No, this is like, look, it is a product that is. There's so many games. There's going to always going to be that.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, for sure.
But at the same time, like I think the game is at its all time healthiest point right now. I mean, look at talking about the seventh year in a row. There will be a new champion.
It's awesome.
That is spectacular. Spectacular for the league.
The other great thing for the league, you look at the conference finals, it was Anthony Edwards, young up-and-coming star. Tyrese Halliburton, young up-and-coming star. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, young up-and-coming star.
Jalen Brunson,
up-and-coming star.
Yeah.
Young-ish. Like, this is all good for the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for it. I think there's a chance that the series is boring, which would kind of suck, but there's also a chance that it goes how you think it's going to go. And man, Indiana, you know what? Hey, they split the games in Oklahoma City. Oh, and maybe Indiana wins game three and they go up 2-1 in the series. And it's like, oh my God, Thunder on the ropes. Like that's an absolute possibility. And it's certainly what I'm rooting for.
Yeah. I would love to see like a 140 to 135 game. I think we can get this out of the, we can get that out of the series. I think there will be That'd a be game awesome. where OKC goes, you know what? Let's just play their style tonight and see if we can beat them.
I think my favorite scenario here is one where the Pacers come out and throw a haymaker in game one.
Oh, yeah.
Just knock my prediction out night one of the finals.
Oh, that would be just the biggest middle finger to everybody. Incredible. I mean, you're going to see it. Like they'll list all the ESPN guys and what their predictions are for the series. They've been wrong almost every single series.
It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, go ahead and throw it up there. We'll see who says, of the group, most of them are going to say OKC in four or OKC in five.
What? I have a question.
Yep.
If you're part of that ESPN panel, why would you not zag?
Yeah, because it's not like it really matters.
It doesn't. It's never going to be held against you.
Nope.
The only thing that's going to happen is if you go with everybody else, you go Thunder. I would be, if I was on that panel, I'd be Thunder and four. Okay?
Yeah.
The only thing that happens is the Pacers win the series. I'm going on a screenshot. I pick Pacers in six, and the Pacers win that series. Now I'm in the screenshot, but it's like, wow, look at the one guy
who
went out on a limb. I would zag every time.
Yeah.
I'm picking the underdog every time.
I'm with you.
Shout out to Underdog. That's what I'm taking. It's your new favorite. Yeah, I think this is the Oklahoma City team of destiny. And you could maybe say that about the Pacers. They've had all these insane comebacks. They had the Tyrese Halliburton shot in the comeback at MSG. They hit the back iron and went way up and came down. You could say, oh, no, they're the team of destiny, which is part of why this is so fun. It's just the ultimate clash of styles. And I really, really can't wait for the series to start. And I never want to be wrong, but I would be so happy if I was wrong about how the series is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think Indiana giving them a series would just make for such a better time for all of us. I'm assuming if you're listening to this program, you're going to be locked in. It'd be a better time for all of us.
Yeah, I'd much rather have like a 2-week series than like a 8-day series or whatever it'll be.
It would be so much more fun if Indiana wins tonight. We can come in and be like, okay, hey, where did I go wrong? Where was my thought? What did they do differently than what went different than I thought? What went differently than I thought?
Uh-huh.
Right? Is that right? Am I saying that right?
You're right.
Okay. What went differently than I thought would happen?
Mm-hmm.
That's too many words. It doesn't matter. Anyways, I would so much rather that than, wow, Oklahoma City, 1-20. Game two. Wow. Hey, Oklahoma City, 1-30. I just don't think there's anything Indiana can do. Oh, Indiana got game three. Okay. OKC got game four. The series is over. Like, that's, I don't want that.
No. No,
I think it's kind of going to happen.
The only team that truly tested OKC was Denver. And that series, that was a Western Conference championship. It was like the next round wasn't competitive at all.
Man. Yeah. We didn't get to talk about that Minnesota series. I was trying to save the take because part of me was just kind of salty. mm-hmm. about the previous round. But in that Timberwolves Warriors series, it's kind of, I'm like, man, Minnesota kind of seems like front runners. Like when they struggle, they really don't fight back. It's like this is just Golden State not being good enough to put up the points to pull away while Minnesota's fumbling around. And eventually Minnesota hit some shots. And once they hit some shots, they're like, oh yeah, now we're all fired up, and then they pulled away. And that's what you saw in that series against the Thunder. They punted so many, Anthony Edwards specifically, punted in so many situations where it's just like, well, don't have it tonight.
Well, that and like Rudy Gobert was just such a non-factor. It was horrific. And for that matter, Naz Reid lost a bunch of money in that series too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like clearly went from being like a top tier free agent to like, oh, that's not good. You're getting played off the court repeatedly in a series where your center's already getting played off the court.
Yeah.
You also are getting played off the court. That's not a good sign for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still going to get paid, but.
He's going to get paid, but I don't think it might be a little different now. Yeah, it'll be different.
Man, finals, am I right?
Hey, I'm here for it.
Here's an NBA playoff thing we have not talked about. And we'll do this, and then we'll get to the Kings. We got some free agency stuff. Jake LaRavia talked with Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype and said some interesting things about Doug Christie. And we'll have that for you coming up in a bit. But here's an NBA playoff thing we have not talked about. Mm-hmm. I miss... And I did not ever think I would say this. I miss the Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy booth so bad. There were things I didn't like about how Jeff Van Gundy did his work. I love Mike Breen. I think Mike Breen's great. There were some things I didn't like about how Mark Jackson did his commentary. But overall, they were an awesome trio. The chemistry was good. The knowledge was good. They knew when to have fun. Like, there was nothing better than that trio in a blowout, because you get Mark Jackson or Jeff Van Gundy saying some wild stuff and Mike Breen trying to, like, stay buttoned up while they met. It was just great. It was just awesome TV. Like I said, I get frustrated at times with certain things. Jeff Van Gundy complaining about the officiating. Just like, my God, give it a rest, man.
Yeah.
But it is miles better than the Mike Breen, Doris Burke, Richard Jefferson booth.
Yeah, so I think, you know, again, Breen is everyone's number one. That's why he's calling the finals, right? Yeah. I really like Doris, and I just don't know that, like, the trio of them. Like, I was in the locker room when the Cavs beat the Warriors in Golden State to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Jefferson was in there, and I think he sort of announced that he was retiring. To a small group of us, but I just thought he was playing, and he was. He was not really announcing his retirement, and other people ran with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, first of all, slurring his words all over the place, but I don't really think he was drunk. I think he was just, like, playing it up.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think he's good. I just don't think he's great, and if you're going to be in the finals as, like, you should have the best of the best of the best, and I don't know what that is right now. But this one just feels a little off, and I do not like listening to Mark Jackson at all.
Sure.
Like, I've never been a Mark Jackson fan. Mm-hmm. Covering him and everything else, there's too much baggage there with Mark Jackson to, like, have a lot of respect for what's happening.
Why he's not an NBA coach.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Despite being successful.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, I still, like, you should have the best there. Like, this is your... It is your Super Bowl if you're the NBA.
I agree, but I don't know what their other options are.
Yeah.
At ESPN right now. I have no idea. Andrew Marchand wrote about this in The Athletic. But, like, Richard Jefferson's contract is up. That chemistry has not been built at all. Like, even with Doris and Mike, who have been working together for a couple of years now. Doris and Mike, like, I know them. Burke and Breen have been working together for a couple of years now. And it's just, like, it's not either of them individually.
Yeah,
I think Doris is brilliant. As a duo, it's just not working for me.
Yeah,
and I don't. Maybe it's just because it's a different group than I'm used to. Because for so long it was Breen, Jackson, Van Gundy, and maybe it's just going to take my brain a few years to get used to it. But I just notice a discernible difference. It doesn't feel every game that Breen, Van Gundy, and Jackson were on felt big.
Yeah.
Aikman and Buck, every game they're on, whether you like them or not, every game they call feels big. Who is that in Joe Buck in baseball? Every game he's on just feel like, man, this is a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Davis too, with the Dodgers. He calls a game for Fox. Every Joe Davis game just feels like a big deal.
Yep.
I don't feel that with Richard Jefferson and Doris Burke with Mike Breen anymore.
Yeah. No, I get it.
And maybe it'll change. Maybe the finals, this year's finals will be awesome and they'll have great moments. I'll be like, wow, awesome booth. But so far, it's just, nah. Just hasn't hit me the same way.
Okay.
Salute.
I get it.
Salute to them. Like I said, all individually great. As a booth, I don't know that ESPN's going to move forward with that trio. But let's get to the Kings. We have a free agency. Yeah, I got it. All right. I'm doing my thing here, Joe. We got a Kings free agency rumor we didn't get to yesterday. And what I think their number one priority needs to be this summer. And we'll talk about that. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil letting us know what time it is on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
And there's a Kings free agency rumor yesterday that we didn't talk about.
Oh.
And it's just perfect. Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype, who's going to come up a lot today.
Yeah.
Shout out to our guy, Michael Scotto. Scotto?
Yeah. We should have Michael on again.
Sure. Come on. Yeah. Hit him up. Prison Mike Scotto says, reports that Tyus Jones is one of the point guards on Sacramento's radar. And I got to tell you, big Tyus Jones guy.
Yeah, I've liked Tyus Jones for a few years.
I think if you get Tyus Jones as your backup point guard, you're in a really good spot.
Yep.
If Tyus Jones is the player that the Kings are eyeing to be their starting point guard, I think that cements that they are interested more in just like, hey, avoid irrelevance. Avoid being a 12 seed. Like, just get somebody in there. Like, just battle, scratch, claw. If we make the play in, fine. If that's like that, to me, is that type of move where it's just like, you hear this all the time in sports, like playing not to lose versus playing to win.
Mm-hmm.
Signing Tyus Jones to be your starting point guard to me is playing to not lose.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the, I don't want to seem like we're talking out of both sides of our mouths here, because we talked, when Tyus Jones joined the Phoenix Suns last year, we talked about how that could be a move that put them over the top, that made them a true title contender. And that's because they already had three superstars, or yes, two superstars and one star level player, Bradley Beal, who can't stay healthy. When you add a game manager, a guy that can go out there and just control things like Mike Connolly does, right?
Yes.
We've talked about just get somebody who can, but that's because those teams have like players that support that.
Yes.
Right? So I do think that Tyus Jones is a really good basketball player. I do think that the Memphis Grizzlies were equal to or better than with Tyus Jones was running the point than when John Morant was for long stretches.
Yes.
I think they went 20-1 at one point with Tyus Jones starting because John Morant was hurt a few years ago. So, like, look, this is a really high-end player who he just doesn't make mistakes. He's a full-fledged game manager, and I don't think the Kings are in game manager mode. I think they need more dynamic play from that position. And like, if Tyus Jones is your backup, you're right. You're in a really good spot.
Yeah, for sure.
But here's the problem. If Tyus Jones is your backup and then you go trade for another point guard and you don't send out Monk or you don't send out LaVine, then all of a sudden you've got like a really, really crowded backcourt. Like, Tyus Jones is still a player that can play 24 minutes a game, but that's kind of like the cap on where I would play him. And I would, you're a really good team if Tyus Jones is playing like 18 minutes a game, barring injury, you know? Sure. But if you were to say, go out and get Tyus Jones, but then go out and get another starting level point guard, now you got Jones, you've got your new starter. Then on top of that, you got Monk, you've got Keon Ellis, you've got Devin Carter, you've got Zach LaVine. Like, how are you going to play those guys at all? You know, and the fact is you're not going to. It really reminds me of, like, again, the Darren Collison acquisition when the Kings went out and got Darren Collison. And that's not to just rip on Darren Collison. It's just that Darren Collison wasn't a top 15 point guard.
You believe that they need a star-level point guard to get to whatever level they're trying to get to.
Yeah, I just think that, like, if you're going to keep saying this term, head of the snake, and you go from a guy who is averaging 26 points a game to a guy who's going to average 11, that's not the head of the snake at that point. He's not the guy running the show. Right. And I think that, you know, again, you can figure out different ways to fill that position. If it does end up being a guy like Tyus Jones, then you have got to swing for the fences in some other weird trade to go get another point guard that you're bringing along to eventually take over and be the starter. So again, that's where I would go try to get a guy like Trey Mann, who just isn't playing, who had a back problem last year, but who has a ton of potential and just hasn't got his own team yet, right? So if that's what you're going to do, where you're bringing along a young guy, but you're also, you've got Tyus Jones to kind of like support during the meantime, almost like if you're going to go out and get a Chris Paul or go out and get one of these other super veteran point guards just to like, that doesn't make any sense for the Kings.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the young guy that they're working with to get better, to train, to learn the position.
Right.
You don't. And like, again, people who can say, well, maybe Devin Carter is not a point guard.
Yeah, I don't think Devin Carter is going to be a point guard. No. He's not in the way that you're talking about.
Well, not even, he's not even just a scoring point guard. That's not who he is either. So, you know, again, I think the closest thing to a point guard the Kings have right now is still Malik Monk.
Yes.
And there is a possibility that, again, they can't improve the position better than Tyus Jones. If I'm opening, like having a wide open, hey, who's going to be my starting point guard, like an open competition during camp between Malik Monk and Tyus Jones, okay, maybe that makes some sense because I think Malik Monk would win. And then you've got Tyus Jones as your backup there.
Sure.
Problem is we get back to the idea of a backcourt with Malik Monk and Zach LaVine and just the fact that they're not good enough defensively. So, yeah, we're just like, it's there circular.
And this is where, as you say that, this is, I think, one of the biggest problems the Kings are facing. Is it feels like every solution comes with a new problem. It's like, okay, you can plug one hole, but that's going to open another one. And that's what makes this offseason so difficult. And it's why I keep leaning on, man, this isn't about this offseason. This is about the next couple of offseasons.
Yeah.
And I think the way the Kings should be viewing this is less need a point guard. Need wing depth, need another big, somebody who can play a small ball five, something. It's less about those individual needs. And I think for me, more about, you hear the phrase where from the movie Miracle, one of my favorites, not looking for the best players, I'm looking for the right ones. I think this year and this offseason needs to be more about establishing identity and establishing the culture that Doug Christie and Scott Perry want to establish. Tyus Jones is a player that they're like, you know what, this guy is going to do, and I don't know that he is, but he's just the name that came up. if Tyus Jones is the guy that they think is going to establish everything they want from their starting point guard with hustle and grit and making the right play and do it, cool. Then go get it. And worry less about they need a star-level point guard or a scoring point guard to replace De'Aaron Fox. On the wings, and maybe less about can that guy shoot, but if he hustles and plays great defense and he's going to do all the little things, a Jake LaRavia type of player who maybe is not going to get them over the top. Maybe you're not a playoff team, but over the next couple of years, it's going to really benefit you to have a guy like that in your building.
Mm-hmm.
That is what this offseason needs to be more about, because you talk about trading for Trae Young. Okay, let's just say they're going to do that. That means a huge piece is going out the door. The Hawks aren't just going to give away Trae Young.
No, of course
not. So you're dealing a huge piece, which probably means, let's say it's Keegan Murray. Okay, well now, shoot. Okay, now you have to fill that spot.
Yeah.
Let's say it's Domantas Sabonis. Okay, well now what are you doing at center? You know, it's Zach LaVine. Okay, well, shoot. Now is Malik Monk going to be your starting two guard? Like now all of a sudden, okay, where's the scoring coming from? Like there's all these, every answer brings a new, bigger question. And so I think for me, because again, I'm viewing this as more of like a 2 or 3 year project and a 2 or 3 year build back toward a postseason contender. I think this has to be about finding the right players, establishing that culture, establishing that play style, and just finding guys who are going to do that. To hell with how many points they score, to hell with how many positions they can play. Just get those guys in the building and start moving forward in that way.
Yeah, I think the one issue that you have about that idea,
sure,
is that you have players like Domas who have already put you on a clock saying, okay, like, look, what are we doing here? Because if you're not building something, then go ahead and let me go somewhere else. If you're not going to, like, this isn't what I signed up for type deal.
And I think this is a key aspect of the whole, like, trade Sabonis thing.
Yeah.
Is exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or at least an aspect of it.
I would tell you that, like, I actually enjoy the fact that they have a player who's trying to hold a front office accountable and saying, hey, what are we doing? Please go get the players. I agreed with De'Aaron Fox the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't chastise De'Aaron Fox for saying, can you please go out and get some wings, when we've been asking for the same thing for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the same. Like, so I don't have any problems with Domas saying, hey, look, like, please get talent. Mm-hmm. Please get players.
Yeah.
Because that's, if you bring in a guy and he, you know, again, 20, almost 29 years old, like, how many years of my career do I have to waste here because you guys aren't going to put the team around?
Yeah.
And I don't care that you switch coaches. I don't care that you switch management. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is that, like, we're either going to be good or we're going to be bad. And if we're going to be bad, then you can find me somewhere else to play.
All right, opening the can of worms we started the week with. I don't think that they're going to be able to find those pieces.
Yeah.
This year.
No, it's like, that's, you might be right.
And that's where it's like, hey, you got to figure out, can you quote unquote start over without hitting square one?
Yep.
And I guess we'll kind of see. That would, like I said, that would be my priority. We'll see what Scott Perry wants to do. We'll see what Doug Christie wants to do, and we'll know that once we see them start making moves. But that has to be for me, a bigger priority than anything. When they're looking at second round draft prospects, when they're looking at potential free agents, I think that's where they have to be looking, more than like skill for skill, who's the better player.
Yeah.
It's like, which guy is going to fit what we want to do, but we'll see how that goes. One of those guys that they may bring back is Jake LaRavia. He talked to Michael Scotto and said some really, really interesting things about new head coach Doug Christie. We'll get to that. And then, of course, at 11:20, Anthony Slater, who's covering the Oklahoma City Thunder for The Athletic, he's going to join us to talk about game one of the finals, which starts tonight. And you can hear that right here on ESPN 1320. And he's James Hamm. That's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We'll be back in a second on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.